Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 31. Today we're reading texts 4 through 9. It's quite a chunk, and they're so beautiful. And I was listening from home yesterday, so I could understand that everyone, or enough majority, knows to sing the beautiful meter of these Gopi Gita verses. So if we're starting with 4, we can sing them together. And I just have to find the tune that I know. Okay, singing from 1. The tune I know is Tavakatam Nitam Tapta Jivanam. Okay, so we'll do it like that. So, starting with 1. Gopya Uchu. No, but let's do it together, and because we have many verses to go, and it's that. So, Jayati Te Dikam. Janmana Braja Shrayata Indira Shashvaratrahi Daita Drishatam Dikshitavakas Twaitri Dasasvas Twamichinvate Sharadudashaya Sadhu Jatasar Sarajodarashi Shri Musha Drisha Suratanatha Te Shukradaksika Varada Nignato Neha Kimvada Ishalapadhyayat Yala Rakshasa Arsha Maruta Vajutanalat Vishamayatmaja Vishatobhaya Vishabhatevayam Rakshitamu Nakalu Gopika Nandanopavam Akila Dehinam Antaratmadri Vikanasartito Vishwaguptaye Saka Udehivan Sapatam Kule Vishwagyam Samsmite Bhaya Karasaroruha Kantakamadam Shirasi Dehina Shikaram Kaham Raja Janartihan Hira Yoshitam Nidra Janasmaya Ramshanasmita Raja Sakhe Bhava Kinkarismano Jalaruhananam Charudashaya Pranapta Dharinam Papakarsanam Trinacharanukam Shriniketanam Paniparapita Te Parambujam Krinikucheshuna Krindihritchayam Madhuraya Gira Bhakavaikaya Buddhamanogyaya Pushkarekshana Virikarima Hiramukhtatir Adarasiduna Pyaya Yashvana Tavakatamritam Tattadivanam Tavabiditam Homusakaha Shravana Maybe tomorrow we can start at the beginning and go through who's ever, how many verses. So nice. Okay, so starting with text 4, I'll read the English. The gopis are speaking or singing to Lord Krishna. And today they're saying, "You are not actually the son of the gopi Yashoda, O friend, but rather the indwelling witness in the hearts of all embodied souls. Because Lord Brahma prayed for you to come and protect the universe, you have now appeared in the Satvata dynasty." So the only one I think we could do responsibly is text 9, because I'm supposed to do 6 verses, and that one has the most purport. Okay, so I'll just read the purport. The gopis here imply, since you have descended to protect the entire universe, how can you neglect your own devotees? And text 5, O best of the Vishnis, your lotus-like hand, which holds the hand of the goddess of fortune, grants fearlessness to those who approach your feet out of fear of material existence. O lover, please place that wish-fulfilling lotus hand on our heads. Just going to mention that I remember, and I didn't look it up, but somewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam in one purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the greatest gift that one can give is the gift of fearlessness. So the gopis are describing how Krishna gives that by the touch of his hand. And they want to feel the benediction of having his hand on their heads. In text 6, O you who destroy the suffering of Braja's people, O hero of all women, your smile shatters the false pride of your devotees. Please, dear friend, accept us as your maidservants and show us your beautiful lotus face. So I was thinking this morning, I finally made it to Mangalarti, and you know, here we all are praying, you know, please make me the maidservant of Radha and Krishna. So doesn't matter what our external dress is, all those in the followers in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami are, and Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya are all praying to become the servant of the servant of the maidservants of Lord Krishna. So text 7, your lotus feet destroy the past sins of all embodied souls who surrender to them. Those feet follow after the cows in the pastures and are the eternal abode of the goddess of fortune. Since you once put those feet on the hoods of the great serpent Kaliya, please place them upon our breasts and tear away the lust in our hearts. Purport. In their appeal, the gopis point out that Lord Krishna's lotus feet destroy the sins of all surrendered conditioned souls. The Lord is so merciful that he even goes out to herd the cows in the pasturing ground, and thus his lotus feet follow them about in the grass. He has offered his lotus feet to the goddess of fortune and has placed them upon the hoods of the serpent Kaliya. Therefore, considering all this, the Lord should place his lotus feet on the gopis' breasts and satisfy their desire. That is the logic the gopis employ here. So just what came to mind reading this particular verse of purport, because on Sunday we had the inauguration of our Goshala project. So important to remember that we worship the Lord as Gopal, Govinda, cowherd boy and protector and well-wisher of the cows. And Krishna must have cows. He must have milk. He must have yogurt. He must have ghee. In his bathing ceremony, he's bathed with the dung and urine of the cow. And when after Putana had attempted to kill him, and Mother Yashoda got him back again as a baby in her arms, she's using the tail of a cow to brush and the dust of Vrindavan from the hooves of the cows to chase away everything inauspicious. So by the Lord's lotus feet, he's accomplishing so many things. destroying the past sins of all embodied souls who surrender to his lotus feet. A whole class could be given on that topic. This is tricky in this part because we understand that these verses are the most sublime. I was feeling a little trepidation, even fear, and thinking, oh, six verses, this particular chapter. And then when I read what the verses were, it was like one part of me was, it reminded me of chutney. It's so hot, you're afraid to take it. But when I read I was like, it's so sweet. I can't refuse to speak on these wonderful, wonderful verses. And yesterday, Krishna Kripa Prabhu, he couldn't help himself. It wasn't in his group, but he spoke on Tavakatamritam because it's like such a relishable verse for all the devotees. And we can hear these same verses, these same pastimes again and again and again. And every devotee will have a little bit different angle of vision for understanding and for seeing, and we can all benefit from all of them. So the gopis, they're also saying, so your lotus feet destroy the past sins of all embodied souls. They follow after the cows in the pasturing grounds. And you also even once put those feet on the hoods of Kaliya. So Kaliya was like envy personified, and every time Krishna stepped in dancing and on one of his hoods, another one would pop up. No, I have another way of hating you, another way of envying you. Krishna is stepping on that also. And so many times, until finally, even such an envious being as a multi-hooded serpent, he began to vomit up his own sinful tendencies and become actually surrendered to Krishna and appreciative of Krishna's extreme beauty and extreme compassion. So the gopis are saying, you're so compassionate even to someone like Kaliya. Why not be compassionate to us and put those same lotus feet on our breasts, because the lust that we're feeling cannot be satisfied any other way, which is actually true of all of us. The distinction is made between love and lust that it's like the difference between gold and iron. They're both metals, so they definitely have something in common. Lust and love have something in common, the intensity of feeling, but the object is different. So in the case of actual lust, not the gopis are, what word can we use but lust to convey the intensity? But because their object is they want to serve Lord Krishna, it's actually the very highest love. And all of us sadhana bhaktas are aspiring to follow in their footsteps and replace our own selfish desires with desires for serving Krishna, which is done by practice. And that's why we sit and string flowers into garlands, so that we can one day make garlands for Lord in the spiritual world. But even here, the Lord is very happy to accept the offerings of his devotees. So text 8, O lotus-eyed one, your sweet voice and charming words, which attract the minds of the intelligent, are bewildering us more and more. O dear hero, please revive your maidservants with the nectar of your lips. So we know somewhere in Krishna book, the gopis are speaking amongst themselves, and they're expressing a little envy of Krishna's flute. And they don't understand, the flute is male, it has no right to enjoy. The lips of Krishna are our property, and yet the flute is somehow always there, while we have to stay in our homes only thinking of Krishna. So Krishna's lips are life-giving for the gopis. And we also aspire for when Krishna plays his flute to his lips, the sound is coming, and it's coming into the eight ear holes of Lord Brahma, and then coming out as the Gayatri mantra. So, so many ways these songs are just totally relishable. So let's do this ninth verse again. Can we do it responsively? Or just together again, a couple times for relishing. Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam kavabirditam kamasapaham shavanamangala shimaratatam buvigrenantiye puridajana. So, tava, your, kata amritam, the nectar of words, tapta jivanam, life for those aggrieved in the material world, kavibhi, by great thinkers, iditam, described, kamasa apaham, that which drives away sinful reactions. Shravana mangalam, giving spiritual benefit when heard. Shrimat, filled with spiritual power. Atatam, broadcast all over the world. Bhuvi, in the material world. Grananti, chant and spread. Yay, those who. Bhurida, most beneficent. Janaha, persons. Translation. The nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations, transmitted by learned sages, eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly, those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. So please repeat. The nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations, transmitted by learned sages, eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. The purport by the followers of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. King Prataparudra recited this verse to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during Lord Jagannath's Rath Yatra festival. While the Lord was resting in a garden, King Prataparudra humbly entered and began massaging his legs and lotus feet. Then the king recited the 31st chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the songs of the gopis. The Chaitanya Charitamrita relates that when Lord Chaitanya heard this verse, beginning, Tavakatamritam, he immediately arose in ecstatic love and embraced King Prataparudra. The incident is described in detail in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhalila 14, verses 4 through 18, and in his edition, Srila Prabhupada has given extensive commentary on it. So, I brought the Chaitanya Charitamrita that has that those verses, that chapter in it. It's Majjalila chapter 14, texts 4 through 18. And I won't read all the purports, but I'll just go through the English part of the verses. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was resting in ecstatic love, Maharaj Prataparudra entered the garden. Following Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's instructions, the king had given up his royal dress. He now entered the garden in the dress of a Vaishnava. This purport just charmed me, so I would like to read it. Sometimes members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, especially in the Western countries, find it difficult to approach people to distribute books because people are unfamiliar with the traditional saffron robes of the devotees. The devotees have therefore inquired whether they can wear European and American dress before the general public. From the instructions given to King Prataparudra by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, we can understand that we may change our dress in any way to facilitate our service. When our members change their dress to meet the public or to introduce our books, they are not breaking the devotional principles. The real principle is to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. And if one has to change into regular Western dress for this purpose, there should be no objection. So I was remembering Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who, when he would be in Africa, you know, he was so bold and so confident in his presentation of Krishna consciousness. And he would meet kings, and he would wear the headdress of a tribal king. And because it was a little out of the ordinary, sometimes, you know how it is, there's a big society, there's always going to be somebody that's going, oh, I didn't like that, you know. But then his response was, I would wear diapers if it would help present the message of Krishna consciousness to people. You know, it's like, what difference does it make what we're wearing? If it helps us get into a particular place, just like in the library party or regular book distribution, so many times devotees go in Western dress. In the olden days, everybody, all the men had shaved heads, but for in public, they'd wear wigs. So and many funny stories about the cheap wigs being noticed and so many things. But anyway, this was obviously with Prabhupada's sanction, and I just wanted to share that. So going on with these verses that were referred to in today's purport, text 6, Maharaj Prataparudra was so humble that with folded hands, he first took permission from all the devotees. Then with great courage, he fell down and touched the lotus feet of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lying on the ground with his eyes closed in ecstatic love and emotion, and the king very expertly began to massage his legs. The king began to recite verses about the Rasleela from Srimad Bhagavatam. He recited the chapter beginning with the words, Jayati Te Dikam. So Prabhupada's purport is simply that these verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 31, constitute what is known as the Gopi Gita. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these verses, he was pleased beyond limits, and he said again and again, go on reciting, go on reciting. As soon as the king recited the verse beginning with the words, Tabakatam Ritam, the Lord immediately arose in ecstatic love and embraced him. Upon hearing the verses recited by the king, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you have given me invaluable gems, but I have nothing to give you in return. Therefore, I am simply embracing you. So, you know, it's something like Krishna telling the gopis, oh, you gave up your husbands, your honor, of so many things to meet me in the forest in dead of night, and how can I reciprocate with you? I have nothing. So here's, and of course, they're getting the best benediction any soul anywhere could want. Same thing, Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, same as Krishna. I have nothing to give you in return. So who can imagine being embraced by Lord Chaitanya? After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to recite the same verse again and again. Both the king and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were trembling, and tears were flowing from their eyes. So here again, Tavakatamritam verse comes up, and the same translation that we just read. My Lord, the nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those who are always aggrieved in this material world. These narrations are transmitted by exalted personalities, and they eradicate all sinful reactions. Whoever hears these narrations attains all good fortune. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Those who spread the message of Godhead are certainly the most munificent welfare workers. So what was one of those comments we heard yesterday from the Harinam that went to Tampa? That one of the men said to Krishna Kripa, or did he say it to Keshav? He said, you've changed my life. Because he'd been there the year before. He heard that, and it was like, this is a completely new way of living I never would have thought of, and you all are bringing this. So, most munificent welfare worker and the most dear to Krishna are the ones who bring that message of Godhead all over the world. After hearing the recitation of this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced the reciter, King Prataparudra, and cried, you are the most munificent, you are the most munificent. At this point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not even know who the king was. Well, last night I was at the little group of ladies that get together and read Chaitanya Charitamrita Monday nights. I don't make it every time, but I made it for part of last night. So, reading a little bit earlier than this, but the same area, it's Maharaj Prataparudra expressing his desire to get the Lord's audience. And of course, when the devotees first presented this idea, the Lord was like, you know, you've got to be kidding. He's a king. I'm a sannyasi. This is out of the question. Don't dare bring it to me again, this question, or I'll just leave. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya conveyed that to the king, who was devastated, and he was saying, if I can't get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I don't even want my kingdom. What's the point? But he was such a good king, he'd even given Ramananda Roy facility to leave his government service with full pension, full salary, as if he were working full time, but he's not working at all. He's just in the association of Lord Chaitanya. So, you know, king is very good in that position, but he wasn't attached. I'll give it all up. And so the devotees all became very soft-hearted towards the king. And they decided, but then they said, if we bring it to this question to him again, won't you please give your mercy to the king? They were also afraid of how he would respond, because he already said, if you ask me again, I'll just go away. But they all, so then I think it was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya who suggested, well, let's not ask for him to give mercy to the king. Let's just go in front of him and describe the king's glorious activities. That's a little diplomatic behavior. So all the devotees came to see Lord Chaitanya, and they all wanted to say, how good is the king? But every single one of them, of these great devotees, are so exalted, they're all afraid to say anything at all. So the Lord's looking around, and he said, I see that you all have something to say, but nobody's saying anything. So what's on your mind? Please tell me. And then they said, well, we just want to say how good is this king, Prataparudra. And so then they spoke so nicely. Finally, the Lord said, well, let his son come before me. And then when the son came, he embraced the son. But timing-wise, I'm not sure. Must have been before that, this famous scene of the Rath Yatra parade. And traditional in Jagannath Puri is when Lord Jagannath goes on down the road on his cart, the king of Orissa sweeps the road in front of him. So Maharaj Prataparudra, he was sweeping in front of the cart of Lord Jagannath, just as if he were a menial servant of the Lord. So this also attracted the mind of Lord Chaitanya. So in a similar way, we can keep our hearts, our homes, and especially Krishna's temple, so clean. Prabhupada said, we will impress them if we are revolutionary clean. So this is one way to attract the mind of Lord Chaitanya, is to become the maidservant or the servant, menial servant of the Lord, and also of the Lord's devotees. So just a couple more verses that were up to carry us up to 18 in Madhya Lila 14. The next verse is text 16. How powerful is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Without even inquiring about the king, the Lord made everything successful. Finally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, who are you? You have done so much for me. All of a sudden you have come here and made me drink the nectar of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And then the king replied, my lord, I am the most obedient servant of your servants. It is my ambition that you will accept me as the servant of your servants. So again, long purport, but it begins, Prabhupada begins by saying, the greatest achievement for a devotee is to become a servant of the servants. Actually, no one should desire to become the direct servant of the Lord. That is not a very good idea. And he gives different examples, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, that had the opportunity to ask for any benediction, even Kolavecha Sridhar, who was a very poor man, but when Lord Chaitanya and the Mahaprakash wanted to give him a benediction, that's all he wanted. Please let me be a servant of your servants. So the conclusion is that being a servant of the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the highest benediction one can desire. We have so many wonderful, advanced, and exalted devotees in our community. So I would like to stop now and see what someone else can contribute to this wonderfully relishable pastime. Or if there's any questions, which I doubt. Oh, Hare Krishna.
I mean, I heard one answer, maybe I'm looking for more if possible. I'm satisfied with the answer, but still. Yesterday, we ran out of time. Today, you have time. Yesterday, Krishna Kripabhu very nicely explained that what is the Atmendriya Piti Bancha Tarevali Kam. What is the Kam? Self-interest. He mentioned at least three times in the class. And the gopis doesn't have a self-interest. They want to please Krishna. But if you look at the beginning in the verses, he says, Asulko Dashika, you did not pay us our salary. So is that a not self-interest? You know, in the beginning, you see...
Right, I remember. I remember he was saying, well... I believe they're describing, let me go back to those, bestower, text 2, Lord of love, in beauty, your glance excels before all of the finest, most perfectly formed lotus within the autumn pond. O bestower of benedictions, you are killing the maidservants who have given themselves to you freely without any price. Isn't this murder? Was it that one?
Yeah, Asulka Dashika.
Yeah, with no price.
Also, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explaining the Shikshastaka in Chaitanya Chaitamita, there's a famous verse. He says, Prema Dhana Bina Vyartha Daridra Jivan Dasakari Vyatan Mare Deha Prema Dhana. And then Prabhupada writes as a salary. He said, we must ask for salary in the spiritual progression. So, is this self? Not self. What is the Western understanding of self-interest means?
I'll have to convey the answering process, I think back to you, because you'll be more familiar, but isn't Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the marketplace of the holy name describing a similar thing, that I'm the keeper of the storehouse, or Lord Nityananda is actually the keeper of the storehouse of love of God, and I'm the
on the price of Shraddha.
On the price of your faith.
Faith.
Right. So, but he also demands a salary.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm giving the, okay. So he, so this price of faith, this is our salary and our desire, that our love for Krishna and our faith in the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna, which is the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas are all situated at the lotus feet of Krishna. So as we progress in bhakti, I've always thought one of the essential descriptions of a Kanista Adhikari is that he thinks himself the best devotee, and that others can't quite come to that platform, or my group is the best. But as he progresses, gradually, he gets to see, oh, there's different degrees, and some I'll make friends with, some I'll serve, some I'll give mercy to, there are some people I'll avoid. And then as he becomes Uttama Adhikari, the actual vision is everyone. Everyone is more advanced than I am. So what to speak of every devotee, every one who's chanted Krishna's holy name, then if we get that vision, one of these lifetimes, to be able to see that I'm asking for faith in the mercy of all these people. It's not that I'm thinking I have something to bestow mercy on others, but I'm always looking to be a recipient. This is the price of one's faith. Please give me faith that Krishna is directing the wanderings of all living entities. If somebody says something that sounds insulting to me, take it that Krishna's saying that to me. You know, isn't there also a place in Chaitanya Charitamrita, is it Radharani saying that if I'm mixing it up, because Krishna says, if my beloved reproaches me in a sulky mood, I forget the reverential hymns of the Vedas. But Radharani, Lord Chaitanya in the mood of Radharani, also says something like that, that if my beloved reprimands me, I take it as a joke. And if he praises me, you know, it's like I don't like it. I just remember the gist of it. I can't think. So are you familiar with that part, or does that satisfy?
I'm just trying to get
the meaning of the
process.
Okay, say some.
Nice.
Hare Krishna.
Also, the difference between gold and iron, I know Prabhupada quote this many times too, because I deal with it. The metal, the iron and gold, the both are metal, that's true. But the difference, one lasts forever. Mm. Even though I know the world will annihilate one day, but the gold is malleable, means you can abuse, not abuse in a bad word, like you can do anything you want. With iron, you bend, it breaks.
Right.
Also, if you leave the iron in a long time on the ground, it will deteriorate to dust, dirt, and disappear. There will be a time after 1,000 years, there is no sign of iron there. But you leave the gold, after 1,000,000 years you come back, it's still there.
Huh.
So that's why it's a very good example that Chaitanya Charitamrita gives, the difference between iron and gold.
Nice. And you've reminded me, and I'm not sure whether it's a Bengali saying or something from Niti Shastras, but I've heard it, that friendship between the good is like a golden pot. It's very difficult to break and very easily restored, whereas friendship between the wicked is like an iron pot. It's easy to break and very difficult to restore. So we should remember this when we, you know, if we have some difference with one another, not to take it too seriously, to remember that underneath it all, this person that may rub me the wrong way, they're Krishna's devotee, or at least they're Krishna's part and parcel. They may be somehow acting on his behalf. But to aspire to be more like the friendship with the golden pot.
Also, with King Patabuddha, one thing is something I got caught. You have narrated very nicely. That Maharaj, one by one, as you said, they approach Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give darshan. When Nityananda Prabhu came from Bengal and he proposals, so Mahaprabhu said the same thing. No, I don't want to have darshan of king. Right. No, I'm a sannyasi. So then Nityananda Prabhu told him something. It was very eye-catchy. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gave a commentary on this. He said, Jaddabi ishar tumi parama satantra, tathapi savave ho prema paratantra. You are God, yes, by yourself, for yourself, of yourself. Nobody can tell you what to do or who to give mercy or not. You are fully independent. But your nature is under subordinate to prema of devotee. So he's developing prema. So Mahaprabhu did get a hint from Nityananda Prabhu that King Pratabuddha is developing deep. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, so we follower of Lord Chaitanya Nityananda Prabhu, he gives like we are follower of Nityananda Prabhu, that we are developing love, that one day Lord will be also subordinate to our love. Very
Hare
sweet.
Krishna.
Then another also at the end, when King Pratabuddha, after Mahaprabhu embraced him and everything, then King Pratabuddha wanted to like completely give up the kingdom and everything, just become his loyal servant.
Right.
Mahaprabhu says, no, you do your service and chant.
Oh.
When you chant, the Sudarshan Chakra is there. Whenever danger comes, he will protect you. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, we should also take it seriously. Mm. When we chant Harinam, Sudarshan Chakra is there. We should be fearless. Like you said, the best gift you can give, fearless.
Mm, mm. Thank you. And that reminds me, when you say he told Maharaj Prataparudra, go back, you do your service.
Yes.
Like Arjuna, he wanted to give up his fighting. I don't kill my relatives, what's the point? It's not worth it. No, you're a kshatriya. By nature, you will have to fight. You fight, but remember me. So this is the thing, we're all here in this world. We all have our different swadharmas, but we don't have to give them up, even though sometimes it seems like, you know, going off to work and I can't be here for the whole morning program, something like that. But Krishna gives that benediction that you remember me, or I'll be with you. You chant my name wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and I'll be there. Thank you so much. Any other comment or? Oh, Stevedi. Muni Prabhu.
You want me to fill up some airtime?
What?
Should I fill up some airtime?
If you like.
you brought up the point of self-interest. Isn't it, we're individuals eternally, according to some interpretations of the Gaudiya Vaishnava. But, I mean, isn't it in our self-interest to give love selflessly? It's not like, you know, it's not like we're Buddhists or something. Or we just kind of lose our sense of self and self-interest.
Yeah.
Actually,
it is.
Srila Prabhupada gives this in 13th chapter. That question, the first question, there was a 7 question. One question was raised by King Parikshit. What is this gopis, ladies, has relationship with somebody else's son, develop such a highest, unprecedented love that they never experienced with their own child? This was the first question. And then Sukadeva Goswami, in answer, he first said this: self-interest and self-preservation is the first thing to love self. That's self-realization Prabhupada gives. And then when the soul draw pleasure, happiness from Atmananda, on his own situated in spiritual being, then he can pursue further for Paramatmananda. Then he come in contact with Paramatma and draw pleasure. Then he gives up the self drawing happiness. And then further he goes to Bhagavan. When he comes to Bhagavan, then he will find that Lord has more interest of my happiness than I can calculate on my own. Therefore, voluntarily he gives up that. So self-interest is there, it's true. It's very sweet, actually. Prabhupada gave a beautiful part of that.
Nice. Yeah, I was hearing Prabhupada on CD the other day, and it was like if the everybody's concerned for their own self-preservation, if the house should catch on fire, you go out. Why? Because why are you trying so hard to keep the body safe? Because it's where the soul is sitting. So it's natural. But then why is it that the soul is dear to us? It's because of the presence of the super soul right there. Actually, when I started reading these verses, thinking, oh, I'm going to speak, and one of them was the gopis, they're asking Krishna to come and kiss them. And somehow I remembered, it was a long time back, I was still young in Krishna consciousness, and those days they had records, remember records? So I had gone to the library, and I took a couple of records off the shelf. One of them was the Radha Krishna Temple album. It was in the library. And they had some carol. You could sit there and put on headphones and play this record and listen to it. So I was listening to that. But I also had another record I wanted to hear. And it was one record by Bach. And I used to study German. So they had a choral part. And the German was there. And then the English translation. And as I was reading it, I was like, oh my goodness, they're actually talking about the soul and the super soul. I meant to look it up and see if I could find something online, but I didn't look it up. But I remember that when I was reading it that day, it was as if the soul were talking to the super soul, and then it was like, then they kissed. And I was like, that is too cool. You know what I mean? And the one part that I remember, if you heard this tune, it's familiar from Bach, but I remember the German words. It was Schallet ihr Lieder, erklinget ihr Seiten, Gott will sich die Seelen zum Tempel bereiten. It was ring out ye songs, resound ye strings, God prepares our souls to be his temples. So this is Krishna consciousness coming up in so many different varieties of places. They didn't know about Bhagavan, but there was something there about the soul being a temple of God and the individual soul and the super soul. Looks like that's all. Okay, thank you so much. Hare Krishna, glories to Srila Prabhupada.